So you guys may not have heard this name before. There's a woman named Anna Jarvis. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? Didn't know her? Anybody know her? She was the first one to suggest a national day of recognition for moms. This was new to me. I did not realize this. But she wanted an annual day to observe mothers because she had a mother that she loved so much. At a memorial service for her mom on May 10th, 1908, that's probably why you didn't know her, she gave carnations to all the women that attended. Every person got a carnation. The idea of honoring mom soon caught on. And on May 9th, 1940, an act of Congress, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. So there's some trivia for you guys if you didn't know that. Did you guys know that? Most of it. All right. He established it as a time for public expression, a time where we are to honor the mothers that we love. Moms deserve this day today just as much. The world has changed an awful lot. We have a lot of moms that go through challenges that are different than that time. We have a lot of single moms these days that have great responsibilities. We have moms that are in situations where their mom may not have been present while they were being raised. We have stepmoms today more than ever who don't get the honor that I really think they deserve. I've learned how much challenging it is for a stepmom to come into a family and take on that position. Then we have moms that just have an immense amount of responsibility. I looked at some quotes from second graders, and I thought these would be fun to share. The second graders were asked some questions about moms, and I think you'll enjoy some of the answers. So the first question was, why did God make mothers? And the second grader, one of them answered, mostly to clean the house and to help us out when we were getting born. To help us out when we were getting born. Isn't that cute? Another one asked, another question was, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? And I love what this child wrote. It says, we're related and God knew it. She would like me a lot more than other people's moms would like me. Another question was asked, why did your mom marry your dad? Why did she? And this second grader wrote, she got too old to do anything else with him. And my grandma says that mom didn't have much of her thinking cap on at the time. You gotta love it. Another one, who is the boss at your house? Who is the boss at your house? And this young lady wrote, I guess mom is, but only because she had a lot more than dad to do. What does your mom do in her spare time? And I love second graders. There is none. This one wrote, mothers don't have spare time. So true, isn't it? Another one, what would it take to make your mom perfect? To make your mom perfect. And I love this answer. On the inside, she's already perfect. Isn't that sweet? Well, it goes on. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Not very nice. These are straight from the mouths of babes, folks. These are second graders that were asked these questions. So be careful what you ask is a lesson out of this. Moms are definitely unique. They play a role that is so critical and so important in the life of a child. Many of you know that I had many times in my life where I was a single dad, and I can appreciate and recognize how important the role of a mother is. Now, the Bible is filled with some great women who are great mothers. For instance, there was Sarah, the mother of Isaac and Ishmael. There was Rebecca, the mother of Jacob. There was Rachel, the mother of Joseph. And there was Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. You see, these were mighty women of faith. Most people at that time saw them as moms. They saw them as mothers that took care of their children. But what's unique is the offspring of these moms, the children that they raised, became men and women of great faith. You see, you women have such an important role in the life of your child. It's up to you to shape and mold your child to be a child of God. Now, if y'all have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament? 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 1 through 5. Now, Timothy was a pastor. The Apostle Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Timothy was his protege. And Paul dearly loved Timothy. He put a lot of time and effort into training him into pastoring this young first Christian church. And Timothy had some incredible faith that Paul saw. Now, if you guys would look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, would somebody read verses 1 through 5 for me? And that's going to be our main text today.
I got it.
Okay.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well.
Thank you so much, Ash. That's a piece of text that we often look over and don't study on Mother's Day. But I looked at that and I saw how perfect is that for our moms today. You see, Paul attributes Timothy's faith to his grandmother and his mother. He says it was because of their sincere faith that you now have the sincere faith that you have. They set an incredible example, is my guess, in what they believed and how they lived their lives. And what does he mean by sincere faith? Is there fake faith? No? There's no fruit to fake faith? So sincere means it's without what?
Question.
Without question, right? It's not counterfeit. It's real. There's truth to it. There's a deep purpose in somebody to have sincere faith. It's a heartfelt faith. Many people in these days, if you look at some of the religious leaders, they talked about faith and they spoke about faith, but it wasn't from their heart. It was their outside actions. The Pharisees, Jesus called them hypocrites all the time, because what they did was not what they believed in their heart. So Lois and Eunice here obviously had a heartfelt faith in God. They trusted God. They believed God. And we learn that your life reflects what's in your heart. John 4:24 says that God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. See, God's looking for sincere faith. faith, sincere worshipers, people that sincerely love Him and trust Him. And I believe those are things that Lois and Eunice had in their heart, this true, sincere faith. They believed God. They trusted God. I also believe that Lois and Eunice probably set an example for Timothy to follow. You see, when you have real faith in your heart, your life usually reflects that. Are you living according to your faith? If it's sincere, you probably are. And I believe Eunice and Lois probably demonstrated that. You see, you mothers today have such a great responsibility. The world in which we live in is shaped by modern culture. And modern culture takes us away from God in everything it does. You see, the actions in your life are going to affect your children. You have the responsibility and the ability to shape your kids, to mold them, to grow them. You see, it's not what you say, it's what you do. Especially the younger kids today, they mimic everything they see, and you guys all know that. We know when we've lost our temper and then our kid does the same thing. Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Kids see your actions, guys. They're like built-in nanny cams. You think they're not watching, they are. From the time they're very young, they are shaped by the things you do, not what you say necessarily, but what you do. The greatest thing you can do for your kids, by the way, is to imitate Christ. Imitate the Savior. He showed a perfect life. I'm not saying you have to have a perfect life, but we are to strive to be like Christ. We are to strive to be Christ-like. That is our goal. Paul said, run the race with perseverance. And moms, you have an incredible responsibility there if you want your kids to know the Lord. Sincere faith leads to reflective action. You all know James pretty well, I'm sure, the Apostle James. In James 1, 22 through 25, he writes this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, that's God's law, that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We need to do what the Word says, not just read it. But let it sink into our hearts. Let it move in our lives. Let it transform us. Only God can do that. You have such an ability and influence over your children, whether you realize it or not. And I think moms do more than dads, believe it or not. Now, I'm not saying dads are off the hook here. Father's Day's coming up. But moms, you are so critical in that role. What you do does matter. See, the other thing we need to understand is that priorities make all the difference, too. Your life often reflects your priorities. What's important to you? I believe that Lois and Eunice obviously made God a priority in their life for Timothy to turn out the way he did. They made God their top priority. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And I think we all know his response. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Why is that the first commandment? Because if we learn to love God and truly put our life in His hands, if we truly seek Him out, the other 9 commandments really don't matter, do they? It's the first most important one. When we start to do that, when we get our priority right with God, when He is number one focus in our life, the natural response is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's to learn to forgive and not hate. It's to learn to be content and not covet. It's to learn not to commit adultery. It's just all of these things fall in line when God is your priority. And this is how we are to prioritize our lives. This leads to sincere faith, by the way, when we put God first in our life. We start to live out a sincere, true faith. We're the true worshiper that God seeks. You see, what you consider your priority is the same thing that your kids are going to consider a priority in life. Can I use you as an example, Mom? I won't embarrass you, I promise. So when we were growing up, one of my mother's priority was that our beds had to be made. Right? We had to make our beds. And so one of the first things I do every day is what, Cindy? There you go. So the priorities you set in life transfer through to your kids. Make sure you're choosing the right priorities to follow so that they do as well. You instill this in them. You develop them. The other thing I want to make note of here, I hope you didn't break that, Robert. Faith also comes through constant teaching and communication. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, it says, fix these words of mine, and I'm in verse 18 and 19. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You see, it's so important that we are teaching our kids who God is, that we're spending time in the Word with them, explaining. Kids have lots of questions at this age. Their mind gets formed at a young age. And what they're hearing at school is nothing at all about the Bible. You know that, unless your kid might be in a Christian school. But it's your responsibility as a parent to teach them. And moms have such a unique ability to communicate with their kids. When I talk to my kids, I get one-word answers. But when moms talk to their kids, they can get all kinds of information that I had no idea about. I can't remember how many times Cindy shared something with me about one of our adult girls. I'm like, really? Because they have this knack. They have a way to communicate. They have a way to connect with people that guys just don't have, do we?
I don't listen very well.
We don't listen very well, do we? You see, moms can form that bond with their children. And that bond creates an opportunity to share what's important in your life with them. Too often we send our kids off and expect other people to take the responsibility to teach them. And they'll teach them, but the things they're teaching them are not godly things, they're things of this world. The only way they're going to get fed and learn about God is if you're willing to invest that in them. You know, we have an hour on Sundays where we can spend time teaching your kids, and that's it. The rest of the week, if they're not hearing this, it's not going in. It's so important.
I do this thing now that I'm grown up. You know that saying, what would Jesus do? I always say, what would Grandma do? I know you don't know that, but I always say, what would grandma do, when I'm trying to figure something out at home, because I didn't have a mom growing up, so I didn't know really a lot of what, like when you grow up and you have your own place and suddenly you have to learn how to clean your own house and take care of things that
yep.
you think that doesn't matter, but if I would have had that,
right.
I would have known how to do those things, so I have to think, what would grandma do all the time?
That's good.
Thank you, God.
You're welcome. I love you.
So see how Timothy's grandmother was such a big part in his life too? Proverbs 22:6, and we've all heard this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Y'all heard that before? It's a pretty profound proverb, and it's so true. It's so true. And it's, guys, it's never too late. It's never too late to start that program at home. So when did we start that program, Laura?
I was probably 16, maybe 14 when
yeah.
it just started. And
yeah.
it changed my life completely.
Changed all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's funny you say that because Dalton, I mean, I got divorced from his mother when he was 2 or 3 years old, but he didn't get the Bible till he met
with Sarah?
Not Sandra, but Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra was living in his neighborhood, and he was living in Sarah and Robert's
right.
neighborhood, and he'd hang around with them, and he started asking me questions at home, so we got out the Bible, and I started reading to him. You know, he was, I don't know, 10 years old, Robert?
Maybe
younger than that, maybe. And so at that time, I started reading to him at 10, and I read to him still today.
That's awesome. It has such an important impact, guys. Now, I know you guys. I've gotten the pleasure of getting to know each of you individually. And that's one of the reasons I was so adamant about a small church, because I think the pastor's role is to know his congregation well. And I know your stories, a lot of them. And I know some of you are in situations where you weren't taught at home. Your mother may not have been a Christian. Maybe your mom was checked out and wasn't involved in your life. Well, a lot of times that's how we end up going through cycle after cycle and generation after generation of the same problems. But you ladies have come to Christ. You ladies know the way. You know the truth. I had the pleasure of baptizing you guys here, and that was such a pleasure and an honor to do. And now that you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to do something different. You don't have to continue in the same pattern in which you grew up or which your mother grew up. You guys have the ability to change that today. You have the ability to have kids that brag about how godly their mother was and how she influenced me in my life. You guys can do that. We often forget that there's a world outside of us, that the things we do in our life affect so many others in so many ways. There are people in this church that will walk alongside of you when you are struggling, if you allow them to. There are godly women in this church that can be an example for you. But you guys have to want that. You have to make it a priority in your life. And just like Lois and Eunice, you want godly kids, live a godly life. Now, I'm not saying that's all there is to it. Kids rebel. Faith isn't a forced thing. That's why we have free will, and that's why there's evil in this world today, right? But if you set that foundation in their lives, if you give them something they can stand on when they become an adult, You've done your job. One of the things that I told my children many times is success to me means you're living your life according to God's plan. It wasn't about the money or anything else in their lives. It was about, are you living for God? Are you doing what God has called you to do? And that could be a mother, a parent. That's an important role. That's a ministry. Let's make sure that the expectations we're putting on our children match the expectations that God has for them.
It's amazing how a kid's life changes when you put the right woman with the right priorities in their life.
Absolutely. It's pretty important, isn't it?
It is.
I would imagine that Lois spent time reading Scripture to Eunice, and Eunice spent time reading Scripture to Timothy.
Well, you would have to, right? Because doesn't it say that the only way to have faith is through the Word?
Yeah. The Word comes, or the faith comes through the message, and the message comes from hearing the Word, right? And so they spent time investing in these kids. Now, back in these days, there really weren't schools. Kids were taught at home for the most part. Jews, young boys were taught in a synagogue where they were taught to memorize Scripture, and those that weren't able to memorize by a certain age, they were no longer part of the program. And so they had to learn at home. And by doing this teaching and spending time in the Word and sharing Bible stories and watching godly things on TV with your children and not allowing the world to influence them as much as it already does. Social media, the things on TV, the games we play, the things we read, the music we listen to, all influence your kids. You have the ability to change that. You have full control over what goes on in your house. You want godly kids? Look at what Eunice and Lois did. It's not a guaranteed result, but I've seen so many kids have been raised in a godly home, and you can tell the difference. I want to encourage you to recognize the significant role you play as moms. I want to honor you guys today. It is a tough, tough job, but it is such an important job. It carries a lot of responsibility. And sometimes it's so much we want to just run from it. I get that. I'll never forget. That's all right. I'll never forget the time when I was a single dad and I had three little girls. And we were all sick as dogs. Laura and I ate some bad ice cream. And from that day, we would never go back to that ice cream shop. And it was the most difficult night of my life that I can recall. I've been in shipwrecks. I've been through all kinds of challenges in my life, but nothing like that. And I was sick. I didn't want to deal with it. Laura was sick, and she was little. And then I had two little rugrats running around at the same time.
And you know, I was throw up, and we tear each other back.
It is such a responsibility, and you want to run from it at times. But guys, think of your kids. Teach them to fight for what they believe in. Teach them to trust God through those situations, and He will get you through it. Like Lois and Eunice, you all have the ability to set a sincere example of faith for your children today. You connect like no one else can. As much as we as fathers try to connect with our kids, there's something about the mother and the way they connect with their children that we'll never fully understand. Am I right? Continue strong. Be imitators of Christ. We are all called to be imitators of Christ as we walk out our faith. Keep God first in your life. And most importantly, teach your kids the way in which they should go. And remember what God's Word says. they'll stay on that path when they get older. Now, as Miss Jarvis started this tradition of passing out carnations, today I have some carnations that I'd like to give the moms in the church, if that would be okay. I brought some up here. So, moms, I really appreciate you guys and everything you do. And I know it is a tough, tough job. But with God on your side, and staying in the Word and staying in prayer, and surrounding yourself with other godly women, whoops, who can be there and guide you, you guys can do this throughout your lives. You can raise these children the way God would intend them to be raised.
But if we had parents with backbone and spirit, we wouldn't need a Christian school. We'd have Christ in school today.
That is very true. The problem is we don't. And free will has allowed us to rebel as much as we possibly can against God. And because of that, the school is no longer going to teach your kids anything about Christ. In fact, they will take the atheist side more than they will any other side. And so it is so important for you to teach that evolution is false and that creation is true, and there's more proof about creation than there is about evolution.
He's like, nope, don't think so.
Have him take a look at the Kalam cosmological argument that we talked about last week, and he'll... let me pray, guys.